suffer from, so to speak, but, you know, from time to time, we got to make sure that we're doing what God asks us to do for Him to properly respond to our prayers. So we're going to look at some few things, not many, few things, few pointers, and then sometimes, and see what we can learn from it. First Peter chapter 3, we're going to begin at verse number 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his lips from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, for the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now again, Peter here is addressing his letter to Christians. So sometimes we just think this applies to Christians and non-Christians, but look at those things that come before verse 12, and it talks about some things that we should be sending in our lives. So I'm going to give us a few pointers about things that hinder your prayers. Why? Because sometimes in your life, you're going to feel like maybe your prayers aren't being answered. Sometimes God delays answers, so we'll seek Him, and then sometimes that's how we learn patience. However, we must be aware of the following things that can hinder our prayers. Point number one, unforgiveness. If we do not forgive others, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. Matthew 6 and 15 bears witness to this. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. And sometimes that includes even ourselves, too. You know, sometimes it's hard to forgive ourselves. But when we choose not to forgive others for whatever they do, then at that point in time, His ears are turned off to our prayers as far as His responding. So we need to be careful about that. So when we enter into prayer, make sure that we lay any kind of unforgiveness that we have on the altar and give it to God. Point number two, an unthankful heart. Give God thanks in all things, because in all trials, painful situations, He's always with us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So learn sometimes not to just go to God in a gripe session, but sometimes learn to thank Him for trials, because they can teach us some things. Sometimes they teach us patience. Sometimes they teach us so that we can teach others about how to deal with situations. But many times we don't want to do those things when we're going through trials and tribulations. But sometimes that's the best thing that can happen to us. I know in my own life, that been some situations, lessons I learned no other way. That's some patience that I got in learning no other way than to learn to depend on Him and be thankful, even in those situations. Point number three, unbelief. Pray with confidence, believing God to do what He said He would do. James 1, verse 6, 7 says, "But let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." So is doubt present when we go to God in prayer, asking things? And I'm not talking about just asking for worldly things. I'm talking about even sometimes asking for His will to be done. Do you really believe that God can help you in that situation? Do you believe that God can work it out for your good? And if you're doubting, when you ask these things, understand the Bible says, "Let not that man think that he'll receive anything. According to your faith, be it unto you." I don't know how many times Christ said it in Scripture, and it's definitely true to us today. According to your faith, be it unto you. So be careful about unbelief. And sometimes we go to God with doubt in our minds, like, you know, "God, I don't know if you can handle this, or I don't know if you hear." We need to go to God asking confidently and leave the results to Him. Point number four is selfishness. James 4:3 says, "Ye ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Man, think about that. How many times have we asked God for something in prayer and we're going to use it for selfish means? And whatever it is, it could be anything, but God knows that. He also knows when we do it for selfish things, it's oftentimes going to become an idol in our life. And God knows that. He's not in the business of setting up idols in our life, so be careful about putting anything before God. And some of the things that we put before God are things that we go to God in prayer for. So be careful about being selfish. Point number five. Failure to ask God to supply your needs. James 4:2 says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." Oh my goodness. Sometimes God is waiting for us to ask. enemy in our lives. He's just waiting. And sometimes I remind that with children. Sometimes when you're teaching young folks and children stuff, you want to be able to teach them to ask and speak for themselves. So you know what? I have it, but can you ask me? Did you ask me for it? Well, no, I thought you. Doesn't work that way. And what you're trying to do even with young children is teach them to petition on their own behalf. It's not like as a parent you won't give it to them unless they're good, but that's some lessons in learning asking. You learn respect. You learn humility. You learn all these things, and the same thing is true for God. You understand, as a child does, that there are some things they can't handle and get themselves, so they begin to ask parents. Now, sometimes they go haywire with it, just like I did sometime to time, but, you know, it got to the point where I was never afraid to ask my parents for something and let them decide whether I needed it or not. But we should never be afraid to ask God for things if it's according to his will. Point number six, disobedience. Pray and ask God with confidence while obeying his command. It shouldn't be a situation where, God, if you do this, I'll start obeying you. That doesn't work that way. We need to be busy obeying God while we ask things. That's what it tells us in 1 John 3:22, when it says this, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And notice what that verse said. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, not in lieu of, not afterwards. It says because we are keeping his commandments. So when we are obedient, understand this, as it tells us in 1 Peter 3:12, that God's prayer, his ears are open to our prayers because we are then considered righteous. Why? Because we are doing things that are pleasing in his sight. And guess what? God sees everything. Can't hide anything from him. So we got to make sure that we're doing our best to do what God asks us to do in both word, thought, and deed. But sometimes that hinders our prayers. Point number seven, praying alone. Praying with others and agreeing in faith is very powerful. Matthew 18:19 says this, and again I say to you that if two or three agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. It's one of the blessings that he's placed in us gathering together on the Lord's day and other times. We have the ability to pray for one another. And sometimes that is very powerful. Sometimes it is like sending a whole army of petitions up to God on your behalf. You know, that's one reason why we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because with their presence, can we pray with other folks when they're absent? Yes, we can, but as power, we come together and pray in commonly. We sometimes don't realize that. Sometimes you could be sitting beside somebody. They never say a word, and they could be praying for you while you're there, maybe sometime even in worship. Sometimes they could be praying for even unknown requests for you. I've done that before, just sitting there praying for folks, and just choosing to do that thing sometime when we come together. So praying alone is not always good. Should we pray alone? Yes. The only time, should we just wait till we get together? No. But there's also power in learning to pray together. This next one, disharmony in family or with others. 1 Peter 3:7 says this. This is very important. Be at peace with one another. It says this, husbands, likewise, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Yes, relationships can hinder your prayer. How you treat others in your life can hinder your prayers. Your loved ones, your spouses, those other folks, and sometimes even your enemies. Based on how we treat them, it can hinder our prayers. And sometimes we don't realize it. Sometimes we think that we're hurting them and others, but God is looking at how we're treating others and saying, you got to fix that relationship before I respond to your prayers and meet your requests. So sometimes we don't think about that, but we sometimes hinder our own prayers just by how we treat one another. So we ought not want to do that to hinder our prayers. Point number nine, idol gods in your life. Ezekiel 14:2-5 says this, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, these men had set up idols in their hearts and put before them which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired about by them? Therefore speak to them. Thus saith the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up idols in his heart and puts before him that causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by the heart, because they are all estranged from me because of the idols. If you have idols in your life, make no mistake about it, you are estranged from God. You don't have that close relationship. Matter of fact, sin does it as well. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, our sins separate us from God. So we need to be willing and always looking out for those idols, because sometimes idols sneak into your life without thinking about it. I tell folks all the time, one of the ways that Satan attacks me is sometimes he puts so much good stuff in my life that I leave out the best stuff. Now, I've been attacked and lost many battles on that side. But everything that God that I'm dealing with is not bad per se, but sometimes the best thing is crowded out. So Satan knows how to attack us, so be careful about that. This next one. Sometimes our prayers are hindered when we forget to pray for others, and especially forgetting having no compassion. Ignoring and not having compassion on others will also turn God's ears off to our prayers. Proverbs 21:13 says this, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and be not heard. Oh my goodness. And that doesn't mean that you support them. That doesn't mean that they're not responsible. But it also means Christ tells us the poor will have with us always. Maybe you can pray. It doesn't always require that you give them a dollar to. Sometimes just praying that God will open the eyes and opportunities. But we can't leave them out of our prayers. You may say, that's not my problem, but we ought to pray for those, because we just read that when we do those things, we ourselves will not be heard by God ourselves. Point number 11. Told you the lesson won't be long. I'm about to wrap it up. I got one more point after this. There's lack of reconciliation in your life. If malice, hate, and grudges are in your life, understand this, it will hinder your prayers to God. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says this, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. It is so important that you deal with these problems in our life that they can even affect your worship to God. He says, you got a problem with somebody, take care of that first before you enter into worship. Matter of fact, he says, leave your gift at the altar, go reconcile with your brother, and then come back and worship me. Why? Because it does have an effect. How many times do we sit, sometimes even in worship, mad at somebody, upset with somebody, you know, just steaming inside, bitter against somebody, and that affects our worship? Because we need to do something with that first, so that our gifts and our worship and our sacrifice will be accepted by God. And this last one is hard for all of us to do. Sometimes our prayers are hindered because we just don't want to wait on God. Matthew 7 and 8 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks, plural tense, continuing tense, asking, and who seeks, a continual process, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Think about that for a moment. Sometimes God is just testing us. And sometimes we don't want it because our time frame is not God's time frame. And I use the example of, you know, we have something going on and we say that God has done us wrong. If he's not shown up in your life by 1:30 p.m. on July the 17th. Well, 1:30 based on whose time? Because there's different time frames in the world. So why do we put God in that box sometimes? I understand why we do, because we feel like we need him. But sometimes it's bigger than that. Sometimes things that we want in our lives are really not for us at that particular time. They're not meaning they're not going to bless us with them, but sometimes we got to trust God to know what's best and when we need them. There are some things in my own life that I knew that when I asked them, now that I'm wiser and a little smarter and more spiritually minded, I knew, and I thank God that he didn't give me what he gave, wanted to get what I asked for at that particular time of my life. Because it would have blown my brain, slung out my head, and I'd have run as far from God as possible. And sometimes we have to look at that. Sometimes God chooses not to give us these things because he sees the end of the road. He saw the end of the road in my situation. I tell folks all the time, you know, much as I love football, and I'm glad, but if I had to get what I wanted to, I probably wouldn't be here today. That's nothing bad, but I knew myself back then. I knew that the way I was going, it wasn't towards God at that point in time in my life. So you know what? Eventually, I learned to thank God in my life because he gave me what I needed, and he knew what I needed to keep me first, keep him first in my life. Think about all those things. And that was a quick lesson. I probably flew through some scriptures, but I want to stick true to my time frame or close to it. But also, when we go to God, we don't need to doubt. We also need to be doing our part to make sure and ensure that his ears are turned open to our prayers. It says his ears are open to the righteous, and he hears their prayers, but the Lord is set against those who do evil. So if sin is in your life, that's the first thing you got to take care of. There's no way in the world God can truly bless you if you've not repented and done something with sin. It's impossible. Matter of fact, He sometimes holds back those blessings he has for you until you do something with sin in your life. We don't want to say it, and sometimes we think God has done us wrong. Sometimes we think God has done us wrong when he delays certain things in life. So God always answers prayers. Sometimes no, sometimes yes, sometimes wait. Either way, he chooses to do those things, then we have to understand that thy will must be done. We need to learn to trust God. We should never be afraid to take our petitions to him, and then be willing and humble enough to trust God wherever he leads us. He'll always lead us the right way. He gives us exactly what we need when we need it. He doesn't give us stuff that we don't need. And then some of the things he gives us are just things on top of that. You know, sometimes we just think about God blessing us with needs, but we serve a God who wants to bless us bountifully, which means this, that as long as it doesn't lead you away, God will add some things to your life. You know, we're not just barely blessed in this life as Christians. We are full of, more importantly, the spiritual blessing, which we should be concentrating on more. But God does a lot of things that really make our lives beautiful on this side of the earth. Not always, but we also serve a God who says, you know, there's some things I want you to enjoy. There's some things that I have in store for you. And I know what's best, and as long as they don't lead you away from me, I will bless them with you in your life. Much of it you need, so we need to learn to trust God, because if not, our prayers could be hindered. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized. And then from time to time, when we look back, I can look back over my own spiritual walk. There were some times when I felt God didn't hear that I had to go back and correct some stuff. I had to bring some stuff to him in prayer, whether it be resentment, whether it be sin, whether it be what it is. Now, at that point in time, I've learned that when I do this thing, I shouldn't expect God just to make and jump because I did those things. And sometimes we say, well, God, I ask for forgiveness. Now, give me what I want. That's not how it works. That's not the God that we serve. Maybe I still didn't need it, but I still should have been bringing those things to God in repentance. So we need to learn to trust him. And there's some things that happened in my life that as soon as I did those things, doors opened up for me. So everything is not instant. Everything is not a waiting for it, but we need to trust God in all those situations. So if you're one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer. We ask you to please stand as we sing a verse of.